Coming up on episode 125 of Triton Cast, we're heading to Lion Tree Arena to chat with San Diego native Hayden Gray. Less than 1 year after earning his degree from UC San Diego, Hayden became the first Triton to ever play in the NBA, making his debut for the Utah Jazz last month in Los Angeles against the Lakers. He'll tell us what that experience was like and how his time as a Triton helped prepare him for that opportunity. UC San Diego men's basketball alum Hayden Gray is in the Triton spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 125 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. No matter whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or on ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton spotlight, let's go around campus. The Big West Tennis Postseason Awards are out. Big congrats to Olivia Allegre, who was named the Conference Freshman of the Year. In all, four women and three men earned Big West recognition. The 30th annual UC San Diego Golf Tournament took place earlier this week in Poway, raising money to support Triton Athletics. If you missed the event but want to show your support, visit TritonAthleticFund.com. Former UC San Diego Athletic Director Earl Edwards will be inducted into the NACTA Hall of Fame next month. Of course, Earl led the Tritons through a period of unprecedented success in Division II and guided the program into Division I in the Big West. And good luck to Triton softball, as they're at Cal State Fullerton for the Big West Championship, which runs today through Saturday. First up for the Tritons, a 4 p.m. Pacific time game Wednesday against UC Santa Barbara. Well, now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Former Triton point guard Hayden Gray signed a contract with the NBA's Utah Jazz in April, and he made his debut in the association the next night against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Hayden also tells us what it was like spending the winter in Maine, and he reflects on some of his favorite memories as a Triton. He was back on campus last week to work out, and I caught up with him outside of Lion Tree Arena. Hayden, tell us what it was like when you found out that you were going to be signing with Utah and then playing in an NBA game, or potentially playing in an NBA game?
At first, when I got the call from my agent, I was pretty surprised because my G League season was over. I thought my rookie season had come to a close. So it really wasn't on my radar that was even a possibility. But when I got the call, I was just super excited. Kind of couldn't believe it.
Do you think it was a joke?
I didn't think it was a joke, because I know my agent wouldn't joke with me like that. But it was tough to comprehend. When I first heard the news. I had fun telling my mom in person and calling my brother. Those are the two people. And like my girlfriend, of course, like those are the people who were super excited, and I was most excited to tell. And everyone had the same reaction. Like everyone was just like, "What?" Everyone was surprised, but it was a special moment.
We'll talk about your experience with the Maine Celtics in a little bit. But how much time had elapsed from the end of your G League season till this call?
It was about a week.
Okay, so you thought you were like done.
Yeah, it was probably like 8 or 9 days since we lost our playoff game. Then I went back to Maine for a couple of days and packed all my stuff up, went back to San Diego, and I was kind of in the off season at that point for like a week, and I got the call.
And so we heard about it when the signing was announced on the Saturday, and then your game in Los Angeles was on Sunday. How much earlier than that did you know?
Friday night.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, Friday night. A little trouble sleeping that night.
I imagine. So then what was your, Saturday? Were you here in San Diego?
Yeah, so Saturday. Well, once I found out the news Friday night, I was like, all right, I got to get in the gym on Saturday. So I went and got a workout in Saturday morning, and drove up to LA around noon and got to the hotel. Got to walk around a little bit, enjoy LA, enjoy the hotel we were staying in, and then played Sunday, had a good breakfast, a good lunch, and tried to get myself as ready as I could.
Did you know, or had you met any of your Utah teammates previously, or had you played against them anywhere or anything like that?
I mean, I had played against a couple of them in the G League.
Okay.
But I didn't have a relationship with anyone personally. But, you know, everyone was super friendly, super welcoming. And, yeah, I mean, everyone was very friendly.
Were there assurances, or did you have a good sense that you would get to actually play in the game?
I had a feeling just, like, looking at their past games towards the end of the seasons. They had a lot of guys out, and they had some previous guys on 10-day contracts that were playing a lot. So I figured I would be in a similar position to go out there and play. But I guess you never know with only one game on the horizon, like getting signed with one game. I think it's a pretty unique situation. So, I mean, I didn't really know, but I think I was expecting to get in and play.
What was it like when you walked out on that crypto.com floor for the first time as an NBA player?
It was a very surreal feeling. You know, it kind of made me think about, like, my whole journey as a basketball player. You know, growing up as a young kid, I had dreamed of, like, a day like that. And then as I got older, through high school, you know, I didn't have any Division I offers. No one had ever gone to the NBA from UCSD. It wasn't really something that I was envisioning for myself. You know, I thought I wanted to play pro, but I didn't see the NBA in the cards for me. So for that moment to happen the way it did, it was a very surreal feeling, and it was awesome to have, like, family there and friends. For the game to be in LA, it was perfect because a lot of Southern California ties and a lot of people were able to make the game, so it was super special.
When they called your name to go check in, I mean, can you describe how fast your heart was racing?
I mean, I think getting to watch the first quarter and a half and not getting thrown into the fire right away was helpful. You know, just kind of being able to see it up close and pick up on certain things. I think once the coach told me to get in, I was ready to go play. Like, I was starting to get anxious. Like, I was like, all right, I can't just keep sitting here and watching this. Like, I need to get out there and play. So when he did call my number, you know, I was, you know, I definitely had some nerves. I mean, I think anyone would have some nerves in that situation. So, you know, I just tried to, you know, trust my instincts. And, I mean, I was out there with a lot of good players on my team, and it wasn't too hard to play off them just because they know how to play the right way. And, once that first shot went in, I think the nerves kind of settled, and then I was able to, you know, settle in a little bit.
Seeing, you know, future Hall of Famer LeBron James on the court opposite you, what is that like? How do you process that?
Yeah, I don't even know. It was crazy, you know, like LeBron James on the same court as me in an NBA game. Like, I didn't even fully process it till after the game, and, you know, all my friends are sending me pictures of LeBron guarding me and stuff, and just like, wow, like, that's crazy. But I mean, to play against him, share the court with him, like, you're able to see, like, how special of a player he is. I mean, I think, what, he's 41, and he was controlling the whole game out there and still moving great. So I mean, it was definitely, like, a really special moment for me to share the court with who I think is, you know, the greatest player to ever play basketball. You know, something that I didn't see happening, and I'm very grateful for that.
You mentioned how you kind of settled a little bit when that shot went in. Was there a point where you thought, okay, I belong?
Yeah, I mean, I think playing in the G League helped me with that. You know, like, you play 50 games against a bunch of guys who have already been in the NBA and guys who are currently in the NBA on two-way contracts or on assignments or whatever. So I think I was able to build my confidence, like, up in the G League, you know, whether it was through good games or, you know, certain possessions that you, like, put on film. So I felt like, you know, I was able to compete on that level. It was just a matter of, like, getting comfortable And, you know, I obviously I still have a ton of room to grow, but to be out there and playing, like, I wasn't like going to back down or anything. I felt like I'm more than capable to be out on that floor. And, you know, as a person who like likes to guard and likes to play defense, like, you can't really come in with the mentality of like, you don't belong, because you're getting put on some of the best players. So you got to take those assignments head on with confidence. And so that's what I tried to do.
We're chatting with Hayden Gray on TritonCast this week. So let's go back to your season in the G League and the season you had with the Maine Celtics, and what was that experience like traveling across the country and playing pro ball here in the United States?
It was a great experience. Really enjoyed my time like in that Celtics organization. You know, started in the summer, played with them in summer league. Didn't get to play a lot, but I got to learn from super good coaches. Obviously a front office who knows what they're doing. And then with my time in Maine, I felt like I was able to grow a lot as a player. They did a really good job of like player development stuff and, you know, just fine tuning certain parts of my game, and being able to play that season in Maine and, you know, started coming off the bench, playing less than I did at the end of the year, but still playing decent minutes. Like, just to be able to be out on that floor against like good players like that, it allows you to build confidence and, you know, kind of get more comfortable, kind of find where you can be effective. So I mean, it was a really important year for me to kind of like find myself, who I am, first year out of college, first year playing professional. I mean, I felt like it was a very valuable year, and I enjoyed my time in Maine, even though I'm a Southern California kid. It's across the country, a lot colder than it is in San Diego. But you know, I felt like I kind of embraced that. Like, I wanted to really enjoy the experience to be on the East Coast in the Northeast. You know, I feel like they have a great culture up there, and I enjoyed my time up there, and the people were great. You know, I had really good teammates who I got close with off the court, and then great coaches who were just good people, easy to be around, you know, one of the best for the players. It was a great experience.
In some senses, was it maybe a little bit easier to adjust because you were so far from home for the first time and you didn't have those connections, so you just kind of head down, focus on basketball?
Yeah, I think in a way. I think, honestly, anywhere I was in the country, if it wasn't, as long as it wasn't San Diego, like, I would have been locked in. I would have been locked in San Diego, but I would have been going home a lot. But to be in a different environment like that, it definitely makes you focus like on the task at hand, because you're like, all right, I'm not in Maine to like just enjoy Maine and live here. Like, I'm in Maine to, you know, get better. And obviously, like, the G League is meant for guys to get called up. And, you know, I wanted to be present with my G League team and, you know, contribute like as much as I could to like help win in Maine. But you're also thinking about like, how can I put myself in a position to, you know, get a contract, get on a two-way contract. So, I mean, just battling like that was a different type of thing for me, because it's so much different than college.
What about the physical demands on your body going from college to pros, where, you know, now you're playing a 50 plus game season, and then hopefully if you're going to be in the NBA, it's an 80 something game season, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. Like, with the college schedule, you get pretty accustomed to, at least in conference play, like in the Big West, we were Thursday, Saturday. Versus the G League, like, you might have 4 games in 6 days, and then you might have 1 game in the next 7 days. So it's really just about like being ready, being prepared, keeping your body ready. And, you know, credit to like all the training staff and weight room people, but like they keep you ready, and they make sure you're fresh, and fresh as you can be. But I definitely noticed a difference like on how my body was feeling towards the end of the year. Nothing that like was gonna keep me off the court though, you know, just little nagging things. So it was good to have that year under my belt to kind of know what to expect. And like you said, the NBA is a much longer season. So, you know, just I feel like being a pro, you just have to be very consistent about like having a routine and very diligent about, you know, getting what you need out of the trainers and in the weight room. So I think everyone's a little different, but yeah.
And so in the G League, or at least in your year of experience there, how much of it is you know your body, you know what you need to do to be ready and to be conditioned to go versus the Celtics in this case prescribing, here's your workout plan, here's how you're going to spend your time, here's how you're going to make effort to be ready to go?
I think for me as a rookie, it was kind of like, all right, let me do like what they're giving me follow the plan. And then like if something wasn't really working for me or like was nagging at me, like I would probably change it. But I don't know, honestly, for me personally, like I prefer to like have something like given to me like that I can follow, because I feel like those people know better than me. Like that's what their job is. So, you know, like I'll go and apply what they give me, and then if it works, then it works. If some of it doesn't, then I'll go to them and tell them, and we'll tweak some things. But for the most part, I felt ready to go. I felt like they did a good job of keeping us ready.
I think many of us have an image of kind of what NBA lifestyle travel is like. I'm guessing the G League is not that. I'm guessing you were flying commercial or taking long bus rides. What was that travel like? What was that grind like to get from one place to the next?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You're flying commercial, you're taking buses, like you said. Flying out of Portland, Maine isn't the easiest because you're connecting for the most part. Like it's pretty rare to get a direct flight unless you're going to, I don't even know, honestly, like Atlanta was probably direct, DC was probably direct, Detroit, but everywhere else you're connecting. So I mean, in comparison to the NBA, it's a massive difference. But then you look at like the situation you're in and you realize you're actually pretty close to the NBA in terms of like you're like just one call away. So I think it's, and for me going to UCSD, like we didn't have the private flights. Like a lot of these guys did. So for me, it wasn't that big of a change. So I was fine with it, you know, like you just kind of take those things head on and you accept them, and it'll make it that much sweeter when you're on the private plane.
What was it like the first time you played up back to back? Maybe a different city, because again, that's something obviously in college it's not a thing until you get to postseason at least.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, the G League was like different because you would play the same team back to back nights. So like that was an adjustment because I had never done that. Like in conference play, you play each team twice in college, but you might play them in December and then play them again in February. Like, we were playing them back-to-back nights. So, I mean, honestly, it's tough to, like, get going on that second night of a back-to-back. But, I mean, it's really crucial that you do, because, like, that's good teams win those games. Like, second night of a back-to-back, like, good teams are ready to play for those games. So, as a team, we just tried to get up as much energy as we could to get out there and go play. But... different experience for sure in terms of like playing the same team two nights in a row, because like each game brought something different. You know, you might win by 30 the first night and then go to overtime the second game.
Yeah, I'm curious too, in the G League, so in your case, the Boston Celtics, the parent organization, right, they have goals. They want certain players to develop, or they want to try guys in a certain lineup or a certain rotation. You as an individual player, of course, you're competitive and you want to give it your all and put your best foot forward and, of course, win the game. But at the G League level, like, how important is winning for those teams as compared to achieving organizational goals, or for the individual, proving yourself so that hopefully you can get that call up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a balance of both, but like winning is a good sign, like in every regard. So like if you're winning, odds are you're doing your job well. I mean, most of the team is doing their job well if you're winning. So I think that kind of goes hand in hand, like, with each other. But at the same time, like, you kind of learn how to lose in a sense. Like, my senior year at UCSD, we were 30-5. The year before, we had a good record. But, you know, not everything is, like, controllable. Not everything can go your way. So obviously, like, the player development aspect is important, and winning is also super important. But I think, like, those things go hand in hand. Like, if you come in and you do your work and you're diligent about your work, as well as, like, the team you're playing on, it should lead to good things.
We're chatting with Hayden Gray on TritonCast this week, so let's talk about your memories as a Triton 2025 season. As you just said, 30-5 NCAA tournament. Big West champs, regular season and tournament. In the first year, the program was eligible to compete in the postseason. What made that team so special?
Everyone liked each other. Like, everyone was like very. They had fun with each other. Had good relationships. I think we had, like, the seniors who me, Tyler, Niwa, Max Milovich. Chris Howe, I mean, he was new to the team, but we had seniors who had played together all the year prior. So we kind of came in that summer like, okay, this is our last year. Like, this is our only year eligible. Like, let's get the most out of this thing. So I think even just from the summer, like, we really attacked the summer with, like, an intensity that probably not everyone did in, like, in our conference. And then we got we started out 2-2, I think. Had a tough game against Seattle at home. And then we got rolling, and we, like, started to realize, like, okay, like, we're pretty, like, when we're playing, like, at our best, like, no one can really mess with us. Because, like, you got Niwa, Niwa is incredible. He was player of the year. And you got Ty, who's, like, was, like, one of the best shooters in the country. So, like, we had a really good team. And, you know, Coach Olin was, like, a perfect coach for, like, all of us. You know, he let us be ourselves. He gave us the freedom to, like, make decisions out on the court. And he just did a good job of, like, you know, putting us in spots to make those decisions and building us up with confidence to make the right decision. You know, I felt like it was just a combination of things, like us liking each other, you know, us having that year together the year prior. And yeah, I think everyone was just competitive. And then once we started to realize, like, how good we were, like, we didn't want to lose at all.
What was it like cutting down the nets in Henderson as Big West tournament champs, knowing that that then meant you were about to go play in March Madness?
That was crazy, man. We were so happy. Like, I remember, just being like, damn, like, we're going to March Madness. Like, that's, like, the pinnacle of basketball. Like, for me, growing up, always was, like, a March Madness junkie, like, filling out brackets with my dad and my brother. And like I said, like, I went D2 out of high school. So, like, I wasn't really like, oh, I'm going to play in this. Like, I didn't really, like, anticipate it. So, like, to get there, how it happened was, it was super special. And, I mean, that experience was great.
Going to compete in the tournament, you go to Denver, so now you're playing in the Nuggets Arena. What was it like stepping on the floor that night and saying, oh, we're about to play this Michigan team that's obviously pretty good?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, that was the biggest arena I played in. That was the most fans I've played in front of. Biggest stage I've ever played on. I mean, well, now probably not, but at the time.
At the time
it was. So, like, you're feeling those nerves, but, like, you're also feeling the excitement of the moment. And, like, you're getting to, like, share these memories with your teammates who you just went through a whole season with. So, I mean, we were just over the moon. Like, everyone was just, like, so happy to be there, super excited. And then we came out and got punched in the mouth, like, right away. We're like, oh, we're like, all right, we got to go. And, you know, we made a push there. Obviously, it wasn't enough, but I mean, we all had a great experience nonetheless. Like, obviously we wanted to win that game, but regardless, like, it was a very, very fun year.
How did that experience, or maybe more broadly your experience as a Triton, kind of prepare you for the next step, which was Summer League, G League, and now NBA?
Yeah, I think, you know, having the season that we did, realizing that we were good enough to compete against Michigan. Like, we went out there and we had a terrible first half, and then we almost beat them. So, like, coming to the realization that, like, all right, like, we can compete with these guys. Like, we're on a similar level as these guys. Kind of put me in a good headspace going into, like, all that stuff. But honestly, like, with all the draft workout, like, the draft workouts and the summer league stuff, you kind of just get more comfortable through experience of that. Like, you can only get so ready, is my personal opinion. So, like, you know, just being in that scene, going through those workouts with those coaches and competing against those players, like, in summer league and in the G League, you start to build, like, a certain confidence through those experiences rather than, I mean, you get ready in college, but you get as ready as you can until you get to that moment, and then you start building.
Is there a favorite memory, so like a specific memory of your time within your two seasons as a Triton?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be March Madness and, like, Henderson. Like, going to win and that beat Irvine in the championship. I felt like I had a great game. Like, I've hit the most threes in my career. They ran, like, this zone to, like, take away Ty.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of limit Niwa. So, like, it was a game where, like, I was, you know, kind of being left open in a sense. Like, I felt like...
Were you offended by that?
I mean, they had done it they did it the first time we played them at home, and I shot the ball terribly. So I was like, okay. And it worked for them. Like, we scored, like, 50 points. It was a really ugly game. And we were all pissed after the game. And then we went to Irvine. They did it again. And it was, like, polar opposite. Everyone was making shots. So going into that game, we didn't know if they were going to do it or not, but they did it again. And I was like, all right, like, they don't want to guard us straight up. Like, we have to beat these guys. Like, they can't just sit in this defense and like, beat us like this. Like, we can't go out like this. So, yeah, I mean, like, obviously my teammates have a lot of belief in me to step up and hit those shots, and coaches as well. So, yeah, just trusting my work and shooting them with confidence. And worked out.
So as you're hitting shot after shot after shot, are you now suddenly looking for the rock?
Yeah, I think just like, when you get in a flow state like that, you're feeling good. I feel like that goes, like, for everything, like with every player, whoever's got it going, like, you want to feed them. Like, Niwa had it going a lot of times last year. Tyler had it going a lot of times last year. So, you know, we had good players that we could, you know, kind of see who's in a rhythm that night and try to give them the ball.
One of your calling cards in your time here, certainly predating your time here, I would imagine, but in your time here was your defense and your propensity to come away with the steal and anticipate the other team's pass and kind of jump in that passing lane and intercept it. And then, mm-hmm. You know, Tritons are off to the races. How do you practice that? How do you get better at that without making mistakes, or, you know, having your coaches say, hey, don't do that because you might commit a foul or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's tough to practice just, like, by yourself. I mean, you can, like, be conscious about it, like, in live play, like, in 5-on-5, you know, maybe you're in, like, an open gym or something, and you want to focus, like, you want to make a focus to try to work on that, and you can do it that way. But I think for me, watching film was big for me, you know, picking up on other teams' tendencies, certain players' tendencies. A lot of it's just instinctual, like, you know, being in the right spot. You can practice being in the right spot, you know, when the ball's here, I have to be here. Or, like I'm in this, like, I think he's about to throw this pass. Let me not make it look like I know he's about to throw this pass. Let me look like I don't know what's going on. I think it's a hard thing to practice. But for me, film is probably the biggest one. If you're able to apply it to, like, the live game.
We're in our final moments with Hayden Gray here on TritonCast. So as we look ahead to what's next, what's your summer look like? What are your plans? What happens now?
Yeah, so I'm with Utah right now, so I'll go up there and work out and do summer league with them. But I'm really just focused on, you know, just getting better, growing my game. I think this last year in the G League kind of opened my eyes on what I need to work on and what I can get better at. So, you know, just coming into this summer, trying to apply those things to my work. And yeah, just enjoy time with family right now while I'm in San Diego, reflect on this past year and get ready for the next one.
So when you are in the G League as you were this past year, were you able to reflect on how you'd improved or where you'd improved from your time, you know, in college to now being a pro?
Oh yeah, definitely. You feel it out there and like while you're playing, but like also you're watching film with your coach. Like I had a player development coach who was assigned to me, so we'd watch film before every game, and 100% you could see the growth from like day one of getting to Maine to wherever we were in that season. He did a great job of like showing me where I've been growing and where I can keep growing.
And were you able to follow UC San Diego concurrently, maybe while you were on a bus or in a hotel?
Yeah, I watched them. I definitely followed them. Me, Ty, and Neil, I have a group chat that we keep active. And we talk about CSD a good amount.
Love that. How are those guys doing?
They're doing good. They're finishing up their seasons overseas. Tyler's in Spain. Neil was in Latvia. Both playing really well. But that's to be expected. I mean, they're awesome players.
Hayden, thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah.
Many thanks to Hayden for his time, and so happy for him and his family. He'll play for Utah in the NBA Summer League beginning next month. Well, coming up later in May on TritonCast, we'll introduce you to new women's volleyball coach Spencer McLaughlin, and we'll catch up with standout swimmer Chloe Braun. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Well, thank you for listening this week, and don't forget you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 125 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.